Like I see that there's a lot of potential for growth. The construction industry, the way we build, has not been disrupted. It is, you know, we're still, at least where we live, we're still slapping 2x4s, 2x6s together. The only difference from how we built houses 150 years ago to now is we've added insulation.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. Welcome to a Sustainable Futures Initiative, number 3. So COP26 is over and the world has moved on, and sadly climate change has dropped out of the news and off the front pages of the big media. But as we all know, it is not over and we have really just begun. There has been a lot of criticism about what was achieved or not achieved at COP, but I think it did raise general awareness more than any other previous meeting, so there's some good news there. However, much was left out of that discussion. It was as it was focused predominantly on energy production and transport, and not a lot of attention was placed on the built environment. That is our homes and businesses, and it hit the news big time in the UK, as protesters from Insulate Britain have been blocking roads and motorways. Now, they made a good point. 80% of UK housing is not up to standard and will need to be sorted if the UK is to meet any of its climate change commitments. So, you know, there is quite a lot to be done in this. It's the third of my Sustainable Future initiatives. And on this show, we are going to be discovering why buildings are so important in our efforts to reduce our reliance on carbon fuels. We all want to live and work in a comfortable environment, you know, a place that's warm in winter and cool in summer. And that means heating, cooling, insulation, and better buildings. So when I had a connection from Casey Gray to say that he builds passive houses, I was excited to hook up and have a conversation. Now, Casey lives in Ontario, Canada, which I'm sure you can appreciate gets pretty cold. He and I had a great conversation about building better homes, plus all the usual podcast questions. Growing up, there were no big plans. However, Casey was destined for the construction industry, as it was his only high school class where he paid any attention and was good at it. So he went from high school into an apprenticeship with a building company, and he learnt his craft. By his mid-20s, he was managing house projects, and it all served him really well because he went on to start his own construction company. Now, the construction industry in the US, Canada, and to some extent the UK has not changed much in years. Many of the practices and techniques have changed little over the years. We're still hammering wood together with nails. And Casey had a classic construction business, but it was a book that Casey bought for his wife, Natasha, that changed their lives. It was the Jack Canfield Success Principles. In the book, it mentioned Tony Robbins. Well, it's quite fascinating how many times those two names pop up on this podcast. So that was 10 years ago. They ended up at a Tony Robbins event, Unleash the Power Within, and they went on to do other events with Tony. It caused them to reevaluate how they looked at life. Casey could see his business needed a new focus. He knew it was time to up his game, so started researching into advanced building techniques. The decision on moving forward with the plan was another life-changing discovery. They were expecting for their first child. And that made it all the more important. You know, as Casey points out, if he was going to be able to tell his little person that they can do whatever they want, he needed to make sure he was doing the same thing. They moved the business focus onto sustainability, and his company became the Conscious Builder. For Casey, passive houses represent the perfect opportunity. These are houses built to a high specification in terms of energy and carbon usage. They are high specification, high tolerance buildings designed to manage energy for the comfort and health of the user. So in this podcast, we discover why passive houses and insulation is so important. We get an insight into how a business can change and find opportunity in what must be the greatest problem of a generation. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Casey Gray.
Well, thanks for having me, Paul. Really appreciate it.
So whereabouts in the world are you?
I am in Canada, Ottawa.
Ah, that gets cold.
Yes, it does. But it is what it is. I don't complain about it. It comes around. We make the most of it, and it always surprises us. But it's not like it's funny because it comes around. It surprises us, but it's not really a surprise.
I was particularly interested in our conversation today because I know that you build sustainable houses and eco houses. So that's why I'm fascinated to talk to you. So obviously that will come up and I'm sure we'll go down some rabbit holes, but what has been the journey of your life? Where did it all begin for you?
Where did it begin? I guess it's, the current story in terms of where the construction portion came from, or the sustainable construction portion came from, has been a journey for sure. The real change began when my wife and I attended a Tony Robbins event. So mm-hmm. This was about 10 years ago now. Mm-hmm. I bought a book. Actually, I guess it started right before that. I bought a book called The Success Principles by Jack Canfield for my wife. Can't remember why I bought her the book. No idea why. But within that book, there's a story about Tony Robbins, and my wife was reading it, saw the Tony Robbins, said, "Oh, I remember watching like infomercials from this guy on the satellite TV at my grandparents' house when I was a kid." So she looked him up, found out that he's has some events going on, and she went, "Hey, do you want to go to this personal development event?" And you know, typical guy, I'm just like, "Yeah, sure, I'll go." I didn't ask any questions. I just said, "Yeah, I'm in." And we went to this event called UPW, which stands for Unleash Power Within. It's kind of his introductory course to everything.
It's his main course. That's the one.
Yeah. And it changed everything from there because it changed the way we thought. And from that, it led to other events. But that event was, I had no idea what I was walking into. Amazing. If anybody can ever attend it in person, go to it. I know he started doing online events. He's back to in-person events. Highly recommend them. But that kind of led us to, you know, asking the question, why we do what we do. And I've been in construction 19 years at this point. At that point, I just started my business a couple of years prior to that. And I started asking, okay, well, why am I really doing this? Sure, I want to make money and I want to build nice houses and stuff. But what's beyond that? What's really going to fuel me when, you know, stuff hits the fan, because inevitably it will, especially in business and life, right? And that opened my eyes, started doing some research, started looking into just building better, came across Passive House. It kind of started to expand from there. And then once we found out that we were having our first child, which is actually at another Tony Robbins event called Date with Destiny, that's when I started to say, all right, if I'm going to tell this little person that he can, or she, we didn't know at the time, could be and do whatever they want, I need to make sure that I'm doing the same thing.
I'm smiling. Yeah. Just how appropriate. You discovered you're pregnant at a date with destiny.
Exactly. Funny how life works, right?
Funny how life works. Yes.
Yeah. Another life-changing event.
I've got a similar story. I've got a similar story in that one, because we were never going to have children. No plan. And then, you know, ended up pregnant. It's like, oh, what happened? You know? So yeah, I know exactly what you mean, those sort of things. So look, I just wonder before we go into this, because I could get geeked out in what you do, because I think this sort of sustainable stuff is amazing. What was the journey before? When you were a child, what did you want to do?
When I was really young, I just remember saying, I was going to be a police officer, typical child answer sort of thing. Never really thought much about it, but there wasn't much, like I knew I liked, my mom had her own business, right? So I liked that my mom was an entrepreneur.
You experienced the entrepreneur side by seeing your mom.
I experienced that for sure. So I knew from a young age that I wanted to like run my own business and lead, but I didn't really have a good reason or what or why at that point. It wasn't until high school that I realized that I was really good at construction. And that was, you know, my best class in school and the only one that I really tried at. So it made sense to follow, to pursue that. And luckily they pushed apprenticeships at that point, and my mom was all for it. And we made it work. But
so you got to learn how to build houses literally from the ground up, sort of thing, as in
yeah. So they don't teach you much in school other than woodworking shop.
No.
In high school. But I got in with a young company when I was young. It was 17 when I started working for them, and I really only worked for one company until I went out on my own. But they did a lot, and they gave me a lot of opportunity, and I started building houses when I was.
The construction industry is notoriously bad for waste and for just because it's all about get it done fast. And
yeah,
and you know, the part, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen the what a mess this construction industry can make. So it's interesting that it is quite, what you're doing is a complete flip of where you came from, isn't it, in many respects?
Yeah, in some respects, for sure, just because it started to understand a lot more, right? And understanding building science. And there's still waste, right? We're not perfect by any means. And unfortunately, a lot of times doing the better option costs more money.
Yeah.
And everything we do is custom. So the clients are really paying for it. So if they're not willing to pay for it, then we can't necessarily do it.
Well, you got to remember though, when you're doing that, you're actually buying your energy forward, aren't you, in a way? You know, because exactly. If you're the bit that you're investing in the building is saving you thousands of dollars going forward in time with the energy, you don't need to heat it.
Absolutely. and then we're starting to look into more things like the embodied carbon side of things too, right? When you're actually looking at saving the planet, as big a picture as that is, every little step counts.
And yeah, when you think about a house, building a house, like you're bringing all this stuff to site. When I think of this house, my house is built in 1893. It's got practically zero embodied carbon because it's been built out of sandstone, and that would have been quarried manually. Probably may have been a few steam engines around, but everything would have been brought here to site from here on horse and cart.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why, like, one of the most sustainable houses is probably the house that's already built, no matter what it is, right? So if we can work with that, the biggest problem isn't necessarily the new construction industry. It's the, what are we going to do with the existing?
Well, this house has an inherent problem because they made it with stone, and then they put a cold air jacket on the inside. So basically you have this area on the inside behind the walls where there's cold air running from the solum to the attic to keep all the wood nice and clean and fresh and allow the condensation to leave the house. Great. Right. But it does mean you have a cold air jacket behind the wall.
Yeah. So there's no real insulation. So you're spending more on heating and so forth. Right?
Yeah.
We ran into all sorts of issues, right? Not understanding building science, right? And saying, oh, more insulation is better. And and people added more insulation and more tight, but they didn't really understand the permeability and how does that all work together? And then you end up with a worse house, right? A sick house. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things to understand. It's definitely a science, and it's understanding how a home, how everything works together in a home.
So obviously this has worked for you. So 10 years ago, you did this process and you've gone forward in creating sustainable houses now. Is this, so you're now moving into looking at embodied carbon as well. Is that you're working now?
Yeah. And that's something that we've been thinking about for a while, but like I said, it depends on the client. It depends on the budget. It depends on what we're looking into. There's a lot of great products coming out there. So obviously we have some influence in what we bring forward, right? Part of what we do as a conscious builder, the idea is the word conscious is really a state of awareness. So we want to bring that awareness to the client so that they can then make the decision that's best for them, whatever they feel best about, or whatever they can afford at that point, because it's usually not like A or B. There's usually a whole bunch of other options in the middle, and it's figuring out which one makes the most sense for that particular.
Yeah. I remember one of my friends building a house. He says, what they don't tell you when you build a house, you've got to make a lot of decisions. And I said, so, well, how do you mean? He says, well, you make about 1,000, 1,500 decisions or more. And any decision you make now can affect something in the future. So he said, and it can cost you a lot more if you make the wrong decision early. So I said, yeah, I can see what you mean.
There's definitely decision fatigue that comes into play with.
Well, yeah, we put the
first
door there.
Everyone's really
we put
excited.
The door there. Oh, bugger, the bath don't fit, you know, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, you mentioned passive house. Can you, for my listeners' benefit, can you explain what that means?
Yeah, passive house is actually one of the most rigorous building standards in the world if you're going for the certification. It's not to be confused with a passive solar house. Passive House is actually certification. There's Passive House International and then there's Passive House US. So they're similar, but they're different because they brought different calculations into the play. So I'm not the one who does all the calculations. I'm not going to get into all like the nitty gritty details. I'm the contractor, the builder who's actually got to implement this stuff, right? So I come at it from the reality standpoint, but we need the theoretical, we need the reality, and we need to marry those to move forward, especially with Passive House. Especially with any high performance building, let's call it, right? Mm. You need planning, and the right team is the most important part to that. So Passive House focuses on really the energy use. It doesn't focus on the embodied carbon or anything like that. You can use whatever products and materials and heating and fuel supplies you want. It really focuses on the amount of energy that it uses. So the idea is to get that down. I think it's 15,000 kilowatt. I can't remember the exact numbers, but there's a model that you need to keep the energy. So the heating and cooling demand and the energy consumption, hot water is a big one, down below certain numbers. And then when you're building it, you also need to make sure that you hit an ACH, which stands for air changes per hour, of 0.6 or less. And that's done through a blower door test, which is a big fan. You might've seen it, that you put on the front of a house and you pressurize the house and you depressurize the house and you take the average of the two. And essentially what that fan does is it simulates air on all four sides of your house at 50 kilopascals. And it simulates that air blowing against your house. And it tells you how many leaky spots you have. It won't tell you exactly where they are. You have to go around and find them, but it tells you how leaky your home is. And 0.6 is extremely airtight. So you want to be that or less in order to get the certification.
And if you can control the air, of course, in the house, you keep the heat in.
Yeah, and that's the idea. So a lot of people, I'll touch a little bit on that because people will be like, well, why do we want our, I thought it was bad for a house to be that airtight. You know, aren't you going to run into issues like I mentioned before, the sick house? And the answer is no, if you do it properly. You can actually have a much healthier home when you control the air. So the idea is that you don't want to just make it airtight and then don't have any fresh air coming into the house. The idea is that you actually want fresh air coming into the house 24/7. That's the idea behind Passive House, but you want to control that air that's coming in, similar to having lungs, right? So similar to a body, you don't breathe through your skin. You want to perspire through your skin and cool, allow yourself to dry out, so to speak, right? And cool down, but you don't want to breathe through your skin. You want to control that air through your lungs. So the idea behind that is you have a fresh air system, which is an HRV or ERV, depending on where you live. And that air comes into the house. It gets preconditioned, but doesn't mix with the air leaving the house. And then you just run that 24/7. So it's actually healthier indoor air quality, IAQ, than any other building that you can build.
Yeah, I guess so, because you can put filters in that and keep pollen out and all sorts of stuff, can't you, really?
Exactly. Especially, and if you live in the city, right? If you're living somewhere like nowadays, people got to think about forest fires, right? And all the.
Of course, yeah. You have a lot of smoke in your way, don't you? Of course, you do.
Yeah. Well, not where we are. We're lucky where we are, but other areas in Canada for sure. So these are all things to consider. Like if you're living in the city, like this is more important than ever. Not only just for the air pollution, but also sound pollution. The good thing about making a house Passive House is you have more insulation. It'll vary depending on where you live. It's modeled, right? So a Passive House here isn't going to be a certified Passive House, even if you go further north, and it'll be three times better than the Passive Houses down south, right? So it's all modeled based on where you live, but it's actually really good for sound pollution too. Like it blocks the sound out. People don't realize how much sound travels through air leakage. So if you block that, you add a little bit more insulation, then you actually have a more comfortable, quieter indoor space.
Fascinating. I mean, I get geeked out by all this stuff, but I guess because I'm actually actively doing it. I mean, I have been actively insulating work on this house for years, and we're just about to start the final part of this program in this house where we will. I mean, this room has been highly insulated and other rooms haven't. So I need to do that. And it's a job.
Yeah, we just finished not a Passive House certification, but an energy retrofit on a 161-year-old stone home.
Right. So you know exactly what I mean then. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So we didn't get it to 0.6. They didn't do the basement. They still have the dirt floors and everything. And there's a lot of air that comes up through a dirt floor. Mm. But we improved the air tightness of that house by over 60%. We did a video on our YouTube channel if people want to watch that, because a lot of that would probably be beneficial to the types of homes where you are.
Yeah, might be having a look at that. Okay, well, if you can get me a link to that one, it'd be fantastic. We'll have a look at that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what motivates you these days? Clearly, you enjoy the role that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously construction is something that I'm passionate about. I enjoy it. I don't swing the hammer as much anymore. I have a little bit more than usual over the last year with some projects that we had going on. But it's an important part. We all need a roof over our head. And we spend the majority, I think the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, has figured out that we spend 87% of our time indoors. And indoor air quality is one of the top five health risks to us because of how much time we spend indoors, not only just in our own homes, but because usually what happens, we go from home to vehicle, to building, back to vehicle, back to home, right? So it's, you're inside somewhere and we spend very little time outside, especially this time of year, unless you're somewhere warm, right? So it's important to make sure that we're doing it right. And we want to make sure that people have the ability. We're obviously not going to build it for everybody, but we want to make sure people have the information to do what's best for them and their families.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff coming out here because, I mean, as you say, what the bigger challenge will be going forward is how to work with the existing housing stock. Because obviously you can build new houses to high specification, but how do you work with something that is old like this house or other houses? I mean, the reason that it's possible to do this house is that I and others do the work. I do the work directly with other people to do this in this house. In this, because if I were to bring a work crew in here, the cost of it to do it would just be off the planet.
Yeah, it's definitely expensive. And we work, a lot of people for that reason, they'll hire us to help with the stuff you don't see. So the insulation, the air sealing, the other than exterior cladding. So a lot of the envelope, making sure windows and doors are installed properly, and then they'll take care of the interior finishes. So it is important to get it right too, because if you don't, you could be creating a larger problem than what you currently have.
But my biggest resistance is getting started, because it's like, this house is livable at the moment. I know I've got to go back to the stone in places. And the whole idea of going back to living in muck and bullets for a while just does not appeal.
Well, there's other ways too. And that's a great thing about technology, right? There's kind of two sides, right? So obviously we need to, as a human race, we need to get off of fossil fuels. That's obvious, right? Like, there's a book out right now called Speed and Scale by John Doerr. Highly recommend it. I've no affiliation with it whatsoever, but I think everybody should read it and understand the real problems that we're dealing with, because he lays it out really good, really well. And he actually has a plan on how to get to net zero by 2050. And it's not just houses, it's everything. It's industry, it's food, it's everything. So highly recommend that. You can get a free poster there from his website as well. And thanks to technology, what I'm talking about is somewhat healthy stuff too, but it doesn't mean that we can't get our homes off of fossil fuels, right? It doesn't mean that we can't still put solar panels on it, right? So you can take an old house. It may not be comfortable in the winter. It may use a lot of energy. And obviously we want to reduce our energy as much as possible. But if that's not feasible for whatever reason, there's other ways to reduce your carbon footprint. There's ways to produce your own electricity. There's ways to get to heat without burning natural gas or oil or propane or whatever it may be. So there's a lot of options out there. It's just a matter of figuring out what makes the best sense for you and your life and whoever that is.
I mean, as a race, we've changed. I mean, you know, we're all used to living in a nice temperate house. We're used to it. The original owners of this house, they did not. They lived in an ice box. And the reason I know that is that I've had the chimneys out in this house and they're unused. Every room in this house had a chimney in it. And most of them have got no soot in them at all. Nothing. They're completely spotless.
Interesting.
Because they never used it. They couldn't afford to heat it. They couldn't afford the amount of wood or coal it would have taken to keep this place warm.
Right.
So they lived in one space. They had a range in the kitchen. They lived in one space. And we're not used to that now. We want to live in comfortable environments. And all that you say, to achieve that, we're going to have to use technology and a bit of clever thinking.
Well, and that's where something like Passive House comes into play. Unfortunately, it's expensive to get to that point. But if you focus on the envelope, and proper design and windows and doors, air sealing, like those are the things that will maintain your comfort throughout your entire home.
Yeah, wonderful. So, I mean, Where do you see yourself? What, you know, obviously you're in something you're passionate about. You enjoy this. What is it that you, what is the passion for you in this, do you think?
What do you mean? Like, why?
Well,
why
I mean, you went to a Tony Robbins event and he went, rah, rah, rah. What excites you, guy? And so, yeah, and you came away and you said, we're going to do this. So obviously something about what Tony said to you, you know, in personal development wise, it engaged with you. And the way that's manifested in you is these houses. So what does it mean for you? How does it light your fire?
I think I'm driven by potential. Mm. I see that there's a lot of potential for growth. The construction industry, the way we build has not been disrupted. It is, you know, we're still, at least where we live, we're still slapping 2x4s, 2x6s together. The only difference from how we built houses 150 years ago to now is we've added insulation and understand barriers now, and we got a weather barrier and stuff like that. But we haven't really changed that much. So there's a whole lot of potential for improvement in the construction industry. And the fact that we all need a place to live, like I said before, is inspiring to me to be able to make a difference and to improve the health and to leave this place better, right? Like I'm driven by that now, is to prove to my son that you can have an impact, right? And I'm thinking, it's not until you like have children that you start to think ahead a little bit more, right? And you start to realize that, okay, if we continue to do what we're doing, we're not going to have what we have mm-hmm. now, right? And if I don't want to leave that problem for the future generations, I want to show and lead by example that, hey, I helped create this problem just like everybody else did, but I want to do my part to fix it now. And this is my way of giving back and making sure. And, you know, it's all, you know, it can sound like fluff and, you know, you want to save the world sort of thing, but that's the potential. I feel like obviously as a business, you want to grow and you want to make money as well. But where you'll make the most money in reality, if somebody's driven by money, is wherever there's a lot of potential. And so this is one of those places where it drives me because of the potential, because I'm just naturally interested in it, because there's I love technology too. There's a lot of ways to bring that into play. And I'm just naturally good at it to some. I'm not the best. I'm not going to say I'm the best carpenter. I got guys that work for me that are better than what I do. Right. You got to surround yourself with people who are better than you do, but it's kind of like a good marriage of all of these things that I'm interested in. And I can bring it together and have fun while doing it at the same time.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So how do you define success for yourself? I mean, success clearly when you were younger would always be about acquisition, about moving forward. What's success model are you running these days?
That's a great question. That's something that I've been thinking about. I think somebody else brought that up recently. And I don't know if I have a great definition for success, but I know that there's something I read recently that resonated with me. And it's about the amount of lives that you touch, amount of people that you're able to help. You know, you think about, if I were to pass away today, if I were to walk outside and get hit by a bus, who would show up to my funeral? You know, it's kind of morbid to some extent, but if you think like that, I think the most successful people are the ones who can actually help the most people, the ones who have had the greatest impact. That's why we all know Mother Teresa and Gandhi and people who have had a significant impact. But it doesn't have to be on such a grand scale. It can literally be the 200 people that you're just really close with. And I have to admit, I've been bad at that from a smaller scale, right? I think it's easier to think we have bigger pictures and you want to help as many people as possible. But I think success is a combination of helping as many people as you possibly can with whatever it is that you feel pulled to do, whatever you're passionate about, but also not losing sight of why you're doing and having fun. Right. Because if you get to the end, doesn't matter how many people you've helped or usually if you've helped a lot of people, you're probably going to feel good about that. But if you didn't have fun doing it and you didn't enjoy the process and you didn't make friends along the way, and what was it all for? Right. That's kind of, those are the questions that are going through my mind. So I don't think I have a good definition of success yet. I feel like that's,
I think evolving. The answer is we each have to find our own answer, what success means to us. And I think the difficulty is when we find an answer for success that someone else is, because the problem is it's very easy to pick up on someone else's success. You see some entrepreneur who's
got a six-figure business. You know, I need to get a six-figure business. And you get thinking, shit, this is boring. What am I doing this for? You know, because it wasn't your plan. It was someone else's. And it's so easy to get hooked into someone else's agenda. And so when we actually have our own, and I know there's no right answer to what success is. I mean, you're right. It, on some level, helping other people is just as valid as any other one. But it's about knowing what it is for you so that you're happy with what you achieve at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I would say that success isn't a destination, right? Mm. It's a process. It's ongoing. It never ends.
That's nice.
Right. So it's never going to get to a point where I'm like, oh, I'm successful all of a sudden. Cause people, you know, in my mind, I might be thinking like, no, there's a lot more I need to do. I'm not successful yet. To other people, they might be looking at me like, oh, you're super successful. You're doing great. Right. But to your point,
I'm sure though, when you come home after finishing an amazing build and the client is really, really happy and you kind of, okay, yeah, that's a good one. That is success to me today. You know, I've made someone happy, good house built, you know, that must be easy.
Yeah. On that front, but I'm not on site as often these days. Right. that's still like, I'm very much, I'm always like thinking of the future and the next thing, right? The next goal, the next thing. So I'm becoming better. You know, I'm writing a gratitude journal at the end of each day to remember what I did and things to be grateful for. And then you pick out those little successes throughout the day. But like I said, it's kind of
work in progress. Yeah,
you're only as good as your last at bat sort of thing, right? Yeah. So it's never ending. That's why I say I'm never going to retire. I'm always going to be doing something, right? It's always going to be in something, helping, doing whatever it may be, being every single day.
What about contribution? How do you see contribution?
Well, I think it's different for everyone. Like I can say contribution is what we do is this, your podcast. Mm. That's contribution. Contribution is our podcast, is our YouTube channel. Mm. It's having phone calls with people that you know probably aren't going to lead to a client, but you're happy to have a phone call with them and guide them in the right direction, right? Mm. It's helping, it's doing, it's sharing, it's taking your experience, your knowledge, your passion, whatever that is, and sharing it with the world. It's different for everybody. Just like you don't have to, you know, donate $100 million a year or a million or that, whatever. You don't have to donate. If you donate your time, you go volunteer at different places. That's contribution. Mm-hmm. And we all need to contribute in different ways. And I think we should contribute in the ways that we are best suited for what we do or what we enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fair. Yeah. How do you contribute to yourself?
I give myself, that's another great question. I give myself time every morning. So mm-hmm. I have a routine. 4 days out of the week, I work out. So I'm now aware that if I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of others. So if I don't give myself the time that I need to set my mind right, then how am I going to be able to show up properly and as my best self for other people? Mm-hmm. So the way I do is I make sure that I get my workouts in. I meditate every single morning. I make sure I eat every morning. I'm drinking lemon water. My wife does celery juice for us. We do smoothies. So she takes care of me on the nutrition side. But then I also made sure that I get sleep at night. I'm not one of those people who will brag that he got, 5 hours of sleep. Yes, I get up at 5 every morning, but I'm in bed by 10, asleep by 10:30 sort of thing, right? So I realized that I only started to make bad decisions or get sick or whatever it may be when I didn't have enough sleep. When I had enough sleep, everything else, I was more pulled to do the workout, more pulled to do the meditation, more pulled to eat healthy food. If I wasn't well rested, then I would make bad decisions, right? I was too busy to work out because I had to do something, whatever it may be. But when I take care of my mindset, then everything else is just better. I did have a bad sleep this week, actually. And I woke up, it was Tuesday morning. And I'm like, I really don't feel like working out, but I'm like, because I don't feel like working out, I have to work out. and I made sure it was a hard one too. And I felt 10 times better when I was done that. Right. And then I slept better that night too.
I missed my morning run this morning. So I had to force myself to go for a run before lunch.
Yeah. See, but then you feel better after.
Well, right? Yeah. There's that. Yeah. There's all that thing. There's that pride of it. I forced myself to do something. And that's an interesting one, actually, because I notice a lot of, I think we all live in too much comfort. And we have to find something to push against, something to resist. I mean, you say that your workouts is the thing you do.
Yeah.
And for me, it's running. I enjoy running, but the process of me not running to running, there's a lot of procrastination goes on between getting there.
I feel your pain on that one. But I think a lot of people, there's another book I read, it's called The Way of the Superior Man. And he talks about living on your edge, yeah. right? Of that edge of comfort, right? And if you're constantly living there, that's almost like your best self. And I really connected with that because we're always, you never want to be so comfortable that you're complacent or you're not doing that run. You want to be just beyond that. So you're kind of feel the pressure, but you're not like stressed out about and making
You see this so often. You talk to people who have run successful business, who are running successful business, and they always talk about the good old days, you know, when the lorry came in and it was all hands on deck and everyone unloaded it sort of thing. You know, it's those sort of things. It's that they talk about that as though it's some mythical time.
Yeah.
Because it was the time when everything was uncertain, when the business was literally just sitting, you know, and everyone piled yeah. in, and so you can really understand that kind of energy that people feel for, and they kind of chase it in some level.
Yeah, we rarely. That's why I tell my team, I'm like, nobody talks about the jobs that went perfectly smoothly, right? Everybody talks about the jobs where something went wrong, and to your point, all hands on deck, everybody had to show up, or we had to figure something out, and we got it resolved, right? Those are the times.
It's a valid point, actually. Speaking of the shit bits, what has been your worst dark night of the soul that you got through?
The worst was definitely a lawsuit that we got involved with. This was probably 8 years ago now. The project went pretty well, all things considered. Well, you thought it was going well. But then towards the end, you know, bills weren't getting paid and we were having conversations we would come to an agreement and they'd say, okay, yeah, when you do those things, we'll release payment. And we do it. And they didn't release payment. They have another conversation and they just weren't, you know, that every time the guys would show up, morale was down. They weren't happy with things. Couldn't make these people happy at the end. And so as you know, I was only 3 years in business at that point, like we were young and I'm like, what do we do? What's our next steps? And we decided to lien the property because they weren't paying and then we didn't show up. What happened is that they then countersued us and it ended up being a 4-year process of lawyers and a lot of money and wasted time. And it was just a whole shit show. Right? And it was a learning experience. I'll never want to go through it again, but I'm glad I went through it because now everything else is a piece of cake. You know, at the end of the day, some things went their way, some things went our way. We got some insurance money. We got, you know what I mean? But we had to pay a lot in legal fees. They probably had to pay, they had a more expensive lawyer than us. I know that. So they would have had to pay all their legal fees.
The winners in all of these things tends to be the lawyers.
It's always the lawyer, right? So I will never, like somebody would have to, I tell people, even clients, you're going to have to owe me a lot of money before I start coming after you. But you know, hopefully you don't just not pay me because I said that sort of thing, right? But it was just, wasn't worth the time and energy and effort. Like, cause all of that time could have been put towards serving clients, better clients, you know, clients who are happy with our work. And I'm not saying that I had the wrong guy running. I understand what happened. They lost trust in the guy that I had leading the job. So I'm not saying that we were perfect in it either. Like I said, things went both ways. So it was a learning experience all around for sure.
It always comes down to miscommunication somewhere in the end.
Yeah, always. Exactly.
Everything is about miscommunication. Every single thing that goes wrong in life is down to someone getting the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah, and that's so funny you say that because I'm just about to release a program to help other contractors manage clients, right? To manage their projects. And that's the biggest thing that I talk about in that program is communication. And I actually asked that, name one problem that couldn't have been solved by proper communication.
Well, it's funny. I didn't realize this. It was years ago. I was working in corporate at the time and there was some guy, they were putting in new Cat 5 cabling because there was various issues going on in the building. And it was the cabling guy said to me, he said, you don't realize everything in life is communication. Like, everything. This cable, you know, everything about it is to do with this cable, you know, and it's like, And it's like, he was really right. It's like, it was really a kind of like, bloody right, isn't it? You know, everything.
Yeah. And we don't realize, though, the other thing to add to that is that we communicate in so many ways beyond just what we're saying, right? Like I think it's only 7% of our communication is through words.
When
you're interacting with somebody, right? It's the tone, it's the speed of what you're speaking, it's how you're saying it, it's the body language, right? Like my wife just needs to look at me a certain way, right? And it tips me the wrong way, right? So, but it's beyond just, it's so true, right? But it's communication, but it's also understanding the different ways that we communicate.
Absolutely. So what's the, I normally say, what's the one question you want people to ask you? But again, it's a bit of a strange one for you because obviously you're not in that kind of world. But I mean, if someone was talking to you, what's the question you'd like them to ask you?
I don't know if there's a question as much as what I'd like people to do is ask more questions, right? I don't know if there is one question. I think what we need to do is learn to think for ourselves. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world right now. And not just talking about, you know, the C word or anything like that, or there's global, like there's always a lot. And I think we're more aware of it now because of how connected we are, right? We can see what's happening everywhere at any given moment. So we're more aware. Most of this stuff, to some extent, has been happening all the time, but now we're just more aware of it and things are starting to get worse, right, with climate change. But I think we need to learn how to think. And to do that, we need to ask better questions. So we all need to become critical thinkers ourselves, not just don't listen to what we're talking about here. Don't listen to the next podcast and just take what they said as truth. Go out and do your own research. Think for yourselves and make decisions that are best for you. And then challenge those decisions again, right? Because how many times have I made a decision, thought it was the right one, and I was convinced it was the right one. And then a year, 2 years later, similar to what you're saying about the house, you realize that, you know what, I could have made a better decision. I didn't have all the information I needed at that point, right?
One of the problems that people have, of course, is that they go into a situation with a story and they look for information to justify the story.
Yep, that's a very good point. So you need to be able to almost play devil's advocate against yourself.
You need to be able to recognize you're running a story. And it's bloody difficult because you're all running a story, but it's really bloody difficult to kind of step off it and kind of go, okay, what's the counter argument to that one? I mean, the work of Byron Katie is quite good for that one because she's the four questions. You know, is it true? How do you feel? You know, I can't remember the full question, but it's something like, is it true? What would it be? You know, what would it mean if it was true? And you have to keep flipping it over, basically. So you flip it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember, but it's just four simple questions. And you put them to anything and it's kind of go, ooh, yeah, you can really,
It's true. And it's surround yourself with people who will challenge you to some extent too, right? Mm. It's environment, going back to some of the stuff we were talking about before, it's environment is more powerful than willpower. That's one of the things that I've learned is you need to be able to put yourself into environments that will challenge you, that will propel you to the next level, that will make you a better person in all aspects, right? We always need to be evolving. If we're not evolving, we're dying. Mm. And that goes beyond, like you said, going back to comfort. It's so easy to just get comfortable, but as soon as you get comfortable, we should be challenging that and doing something that gets us out of that comfort zone. And it's easier said than done. But if you have the right people around you and the right systems in place, then you'll become uncomfortable again very quickly.
Okay, I got the message. I need to start my insulation. I need to get back to muck and bullets. I need to get back to muck and bullets. Thanks for that one. So how do people, clearly you can't build houses everywhere. So what is it you're looking for from this podcast? Who do you want to talk to? Do you want to talk to anybody or can people talk to you? What do you offer?
Yeah, I'm happy to connect with anybody. Like the best way, or all I ask, if you're actually interested in building better homes and learning about what we're doing, check out our YouTube channel. That's just The Conscious Builder. Google that. We'll come up in all sorts of different places. We have our podcast as well, which has a lot of great interviews. YouTube channel is more about kind of the projects that we're doing and like snippets of the interviews. Podcast is great conversations with people like yourself and others, just not even just about construction. We also do business as well, because we want to help contractors, because we understand that we can't do everything. So we want other people to be able to build better as well.
What's the podcast called?
The Conscious Builder as well.
The Conscious Builder.
The Conscious Builder Show. And then we have the Conscious Builder on YouTube. So everything's a Conscious Builder.
Is there a website for that?
If you go to any of those, theconsciousbuilder.com will have everything that we have. If you're a contractor and you want to learn more, we have consciousbuilderacademy.com. But best place is go to the YouTube channel. That kind of, you'll see a lot there. And we talk about a lot of different things.
Are you on any other social channels?
Yeah, we have Facebook. We got Instagram. We have everything, right? That's what I'm saying. If you Google it, however you like to communicate with people, you can message us. You can email us through our website. You can message us through Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is. I'll make sure I get back to you.
Well, all of those links will be available at the website Life, Passion and Business. So do check out Casey, because he is a fascinating guy. So Casey, final question, the one we ask all of our guests, and it's the one that's, I don't know if it's a good one or not. It's an interesting one that a lot of people don't even consider. What's the meaning of life for you?
I think, you know, as cheesy as it is, we're here. I think we're here to learn.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to learn and grow. And I don't know what happened before or what happens after, but I feel like this is just a part of a much grander journey that our minds cannot comprehend. Mm-hmm. And we need to learn and grow and help each other and continue and remember, you know, that to some extent, like we're all the same. We're all on the same ship, right? We're kind of in this same space and time right now. And there's a lot, we're more alike than we are different.
Mm.
In a lot of respects, we might have different opinions on things, but at the end of the day, we're more alike than we are different. And if we can remember that, I think a lot of problems in the world would be a better
world if we could all remember that, that's for sure. Casey Gray, thank you so much for spending this time with me. It's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All the best.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Casey Gray. If you'd like to connect with Casey, he has an active YouTube channel and you can find him everywhere as The Conscious Builder. He has a personal page called caseygray.com and the Conscious Builder website is theconsciousbuilder.com. There's also the Conscious Builder Academy and the YouTube The Conscious Builder, an Instagram account and Facebook, and on LinkedIn. So Casey and I had a great conversation, which we continued on his podcast, and that will be out before Christmas. I'll post some links to that when it goes live. And it's good guesting on other people's podcasts, as I get to share so much more, and it's always good to explore that in conversation with others. So the Sustainable Initiatives will be back in 2022. If you have a project and would like to talk about that, please do get in touch at the website lifepassionandbusiness.com. And while on that subject, there's a new PDF you can download called The 3 Steps to Daily Success. It's a simple process that really will change your day, so do check it out. And that's it for this week. So thank you so much for being here on this journey with me. As I said, every week, if you enjoy this podcast, if you enjoy any podcast, please like, share and comment, because that's how this ecosystem grows. It's how people like yourself find good podcasts. As always, thanks for your time and attention. I'll catch you next time. All the best.